We're in the book of Jude today, if you want to turn there. Chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 20 to 25 together. Tonight we continue our journey in the book of Numbers. I know I've said this before, but this is one of the most important chapters in Numbers. According to our Savior Jesus Christ, who pointed to this chapter as the Old Testament illustration of salvation. So you don't want to miss it. The title is A Serpent of Brass. A Serpent of Brass. So here in Jude, remember the first part of the book, we've looked at it before, we're told to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, and we have all these contentions given. And here at the end of the book, he tells us in verse 20, "Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen." So I'm going to take my title from that first verse 20, building up yourselves. Let's pray. Lord, how we love you and thank you for giving us your word, that we can open together and know that the Holy Spirit will use it in our hearts. Lord, may we be responsive. May we be listening to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we be willing to make the changes you speak to us about today. I pray, Lord, that it would be our desire to continue to build our faith on the foundation of our Savior and our salvation. And Lord, that we would do it your way. I pray, Lord, if there's someone in our service that's not sure they're born again, not sure they're going to heaven, that today would be the day they'd realize Jesus died and rose again and loves them and offers them eternal life, and that they would trust Christ and be saved today. Have your will in our service. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Building up yourselves. Each one of us, if you're saved, go to 1 Corinthians 3:11. Was given a wonderful foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Amen? He saved us. He gave us eternal life. He gave us a home in heaven. He also is that foundation upon which we are now to build up ourselves. Notice verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3, "For other foundation can no man lay then that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 12. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." So there it is. We're to build upon this foundation. We're to be building up ourselves, building up our Christian lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. And the scriptures talk a lot about how we're to keep growing. We're to keep maturing in our faith. Look at Ephesians 4:14, and we'll see this. It's God's will that, yes, when we're saved, we're babies. There's no question. But that we don't stay babies. Amen? But that we grow up into mature Christians, that we grow up in our fruit of the Spirit. We grow up in our love for one another. We grow up in our knowledge of God's Word and its application in our Christian lives. Notice Ephesians 4:14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Hebrews 5 says that strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Hebrews 5:14. This is God's will, that we mature, that we build up ourselves on the foundation of our salvation, which is Jesus Christ, because we are in the last days. We all know this. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll see this. We all know, because the devil is very active in spreading false doctrine, in trying to get people to not trust Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy 4:1, we're told this, what happened. "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So God even warned us it would happen, and we're here. That there are so many Christians being led astray, so many Christians that are not building up their faith on Jesus Christ. They're just kind of cruising through their life, waiting for Jesus to come. That's not God's will. God's will is that we be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And then he gives us the clues, if you will, on how to make this real. But first, let's talk a bit more about the foundation. Look down at verse 24 of our passage. And then we'll come back up to verse 21. But in 24, he gives us that assurance that our foundation is secure. Amen? There's nothing better than being secure in your salvation. Knowing that the devil, man, even yourself cannot take away what God has given you when he gave you eternal life. Verse 24, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Isn't that beautiful? If it was reliant upon us and our ability to hold on, our ability to keep faithful, whatever, we would all fail, wouldn't we? Because we're all sinners. It's God that's able to keep us from falling. Amen? Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That is our foundation that we can sink our teeth into. Amen? 1 Peter 1:5 says, we are kept by the power of God. We are not kept by our own power. We're kept by God's power. He's the one that is able to keep us from falling. Look at 2 Timothy 1:12, if you would. It says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. And then the song that we sing, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He is able. God is able to keep us from falling. We're not able, but God is. And then, of course, up in verse 1 of Jude, go back to Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful you're preserved in Christ? Hallelujah. Sealed by the Holy Spirit on the day of redemption. And I brought us there first because that's our foundation that we're building on. This foundation of salvation of Jesus Christ, but our salvation is secure because it's God that keeps us from falling. And it goes on to say, verse 24, and he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This is how we know that there's no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Good works isn't going to get you into heaven, is it? Because good works doesn't take care of your sin problem. And it's your sin problem that's caused you to be separated from God and will cause you to be eternally separated from God in a place called hell if you don't deal with the sin problem. Well, how are you going to deal with the sin problem? You can't. It takes supernatural intervention, amen, from God. And that's what we read, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The day we get saved, God gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and Jesus takes our sins. What a beautiful exchange. He says he will present us faultless. He's the one that justifies us. He's the one that imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is our foundation, our salvation in Christ. Is the foundation upon which we are told here that we need to build up. And so if you're not saved, this message is really not for you. Because you don't have a foundation. And you can build all you want, but you're building it on sand. You need to build it on the rock. Amen? Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? How do we build up ourselves? Well, the first thing in verse 20, it's kind of obvious. We all expected this. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We cannot build up ourselves without prayer. We can try, but it's not going to work, is it? Prayer is part of the Christian life. It's what God commanded us to do. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to ask for His blessings upon our lives. He commands us to, all through the Scriptures. Luke 18:1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're commanded to pray. Ephesians 6:18 is a good example. Turn there if you would. But the first and one of the most important, if you will, ingredients that it takes to build up ourselves is prayer. Spending time with God, your Creator, your Father, your Savior, your friend, in prayer. It's a great privilege that we have. Look at Ephesians 6:18. Look at those first two words. Praying always. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We got a lot to pray for. If we're to be praying for every brother and sister that we know in Christ, that's a lot of people to pray for, isn't it? Praying always in the Spirit and for all saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, just three words. Pray without ceasing. Just keep spending more time with God. Keep talking to God. Keep asking God for help. Keep fellowshipping with God in prayer. And that is the first thing that we must do if we're going to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. Number two is verse 21. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. People immediately look at that phrase and think, well, that's talking about my need to love others. But that's not what it's saying at all. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? What does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at 1 John 5:3, and God answers the question for us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. He's talking here about obedience. That if we're going to build up ourselves, not only we have to have prayer, constant prayer and fellowship with our Creator and our Father, but we need to obey His commandments. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God. Here it is, that we keep His commandments. Amen? And His commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God. Jesus said the same thing in John 14. Let's turn there quickly. John 14, verse 21. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Obedience. That is how we say, I love you to God. By obeying His word. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. That's pretty clear. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. That's a whole topic of its own, isn't it? Jesus said when we're in disobedience, we're not loving him. So we must keep ourselves. Actually, look at John 15:10 quickly. We must keep ourselves in the love of God. If we're going to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, this foundation of Jesus Christ, our security in Christ, how do we build up ourselves? Constant prayer. Praying always in the Spirit. Watching for all saints. And keeping ourselves in the love of God. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. For a Christian, love is obedience. And obedience is love. That is how we love God. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? By being faithful to his commands. Now, there's plenty of commands. We need to make sure we know them. We need to make sure we're constantly reviewing them, studying, reading God's word. When the Holy Spirit says, you know, you're not keeping that one, what do we need to do? Push it aside, ignore it? No, we need to change. Amen? We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Number three, how do we build up ourselves? Prayer, obedience. Number three, verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The third way we build up ourselves is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Not only now, but what's coming. How many times in the New Testament are we told to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ? We're to be waiting for it. The imminency of the return of Jesus Christ is one of the foundational truths of the New Testament. Look at Titus chapter 2, just as an example, and verse 13. But we are to be constantly looking, expecting Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we just stand on a hilltop and stare in the sky. That's not serving Christ. That's not being the light of the world. That's not being the salt of the earth. But it does mean that expecting Jesus to return should impact our lives as we are building up our holy faith on our foundation of Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John 3:3. And this explains why, 1 John 3:3, why, if we're looking for Jesus, it's going to build up our faith. It's because if we really believe Jesus could come back today, are we ready? Are we prepared? Because the Bible says in 1 John 2:28, many will be ashamed at his coming. Because they're living in sin. They're not living in obedience. They're not serving Christ. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The looking for Jesus, the expecting of the return of Jesus Christ should have a purifying effect in our Christian lives. Because he could come back today. And once he does, it's done, isn't it? We're in heaven. We can't serve the Lord on earth anymore. It's done. So we should live every day as if that's the day Jesus blows the trumpet. And if we believe it could be today, it should purify us. Amen? Should have a purifying effect in our lives. So how do we build up ourselves? Prayer, obedience, and looking for Jesus. Number 4, verse 22. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Now this is love. It was coming. It just wasn't the first one. The first one was obedience. But this is how we touch others. Now, what did Jesus say in John 13? A new commandment I give unto you, verse 34, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, verse 35 of John 13, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Or to make a difference in the lives of others. Are we making a difference? Look at 1 John 4:11, if you would. How we interact and touch others should make a difference in their lives through the amazing love that God has given us in his presence through the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now there's a practical, obviously many practical sides to this. Amen. How do we love others? Well, the Bible tells us forgiveness, hospitality, empathy, exhortation, comfort, compassion, kindness, gentleness, tenderheartedness. The Bible talks a lot about those things, doesn't it? And it even tells us how not to love one another. Being a backbiter or busybody or judgmental or evil for evil or hatefulness. We could go on. And so God has given us himself, his presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we can love or we can not love. But if we're going to build up ourselves, we're going to make a difference. Amen. A difference for good, for God. And then number 5, I think it is. Yep. Is verse 23. Others save with fear. What does that mean? If a person does not have a fear for the consequences of their sin, then they cannot be saved. Why would they even want to be saved? What are they getting saved from? You know, the way to witness to someone isn't saying, God is love, give him a try. I hear that, it's just rubbish. My friend, God is just. God is holy, as we've been studying in Sunday school. You always start with sin, just like Jesus did with the woman at the well. You always start with sin. Why? Because if you're not a sinner, you don't need saved. So you got to start with sin. The fact that God is holy, we aren't. God is just, therefore, and will punish sin. So you got to start with sin and its consequences. The wages of sin is death. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire and so forth. And once you get them lost, then you can tell them how to get saved. Amen? That Jesus paid for your sin and offers you complete forgiveness and salvation through what he did at Calvary. So is it right to talk about hell? Is it right to talk about that sin will condemn us to hell? Absolutely. Save them with fear. Put the fear of God in the people and tell them the truth that God is righteous and holy and we are sinners and we deserve to be punished. And if we do go to hell, it's not because God didn't love us. He already showed his love at Calvary. It's because we chose not to accept his love. Amen? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:11. Save with fear. We'll call this witnessing if you'd like. Number 5. On building up our faith. Number 1 is praying. Number 2 is obedience. Number 3 is expecting the return of Jesus Christ. Number 4 is loving one another as Christ loved us. And number 5 is witnessing. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. People don't talk enough about the terror of the Lord. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A person should have a genuine terror of hell. Amen? And it's up to us to tell them about it. We are to save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire, it says there in Jude 23. Pulling them out of the fire. Every time that we share the gospel with a lost person, they get saved. We just pulled another one out of the fire. Amen? Another one that was headed for the fire for eternity. With God's help. Or God just pulled them out of the fire. We didn't do it. We're just the instrument. But witnessing. And then the last one is verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Praising God. You cannot grow your Christian life if you're not a Christian of praise and thanksgiving. Giving thanks always for all things, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:20. Praising God. Let's look at it. Hebrews 13:15. How often we're to praise God. God gives us one word there to help us understand. So if you ever wondered, how often am I supposed to praise God? Well, God tells us here in Hebrews 13:15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What's it say? Continually. Amen? We need to be praising God all the time because he's so wonderful. He's loving and he's long-suffering and he's merciful, like we just talked about in Sunday school this morning. There's always something to praise God for. And you're not going to grow your faith if you're not a Christian of praise. So here he said, you're to build up yourselves on your most holy faith. You're to be building, building, building. The foundation's given to us. It's laid. We're preserved in Jesus Christ. Verse 24, He'll keep us from falling. He will present us faultless. That's done. Oh, we're saved. If you're a Christian, you're going to heaven. That's given. But between now and then, you're to be building up yourself on this foundation of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Prayer. Obedience. Expecting Jesus to come back. Loving as Christ loved us. Witnessing and praising God. If we'll keep up those six things, then we'll keep building. And hopefully, Lord willing, it's gold, silver, precious stones and not wood, hay, stubble. That's about motives, which that's a whole different conversation. Building up yourselves. I hope that that is your desire. Now that you've been given this beautiful thing of salvation, this security in Jesus Christ, that it's your desire to build on that. Such that when Jesus does return, He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou to the joy of the Lord." That's hopefully our desire. As it'll say, you kept the faith. You finished your course. You didn't quit. You just kept building and building and building. That's our job. Just keep building. Building up ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. This beautiful passage. Thank you for the security that we see in that verse 24. Verse 1. Lord, we just can't appreciate more the security that we have in Christ of knowing that the devil can't take away this gift of salvation that you've given us. But Lord, may we just keep building as you've commanded us to. May we keep praying and obeying your word by being in it and obeying as the Holy Spirit points out things. Keep expecting our Savior to return and Lord, loving one another as Christ loved us, witnessing to the lost and saving them with fear and, of course, praising you constantly. May this be a reality for us as your children. And we love you so much. I pray again for anyone in our service that's not sure they're a Christian. May they realize they need Jesus. And may they come to Christ today. We ask this in His wonderful name. Amen.